Our next reading this morning comes from the New Testament, Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by His blood, effective through faith. He did this to show His righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that He Himself is righteous and that He justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. May God bless to our understanding this reading and hearing of the most holy word. So today is the second Sunday in Advent. And what that means, practically speaking, is that Christmas is just a couple of weeks away. This is the most wonderful time of the year, right? That's what the song says anyway. And yet, so many of us will go through this holiday season once again with a nagging sense of emptiness. We'll participate in all the traditions and the celebrations, but deep down inside, we'll feel like something is missing. And part of that emptiness comes because our expectations are so high. For some reason or another, many of us have come to believe that this time of the year is supposed to be a time of unlimited joy and celebration and happiness and excitement. And when that doesn't happen, we wonder what's wrong with us. Well, Christmas is a wonderful time of the year, but there are all kinds of things that can just suck the life right out of Christmas. Busyness is one of them. We can absolutely wear ourselves out running from work to the mall to Christmas parties, back to work, other Christmas parties, back to the mall, to Christmas concerts, and we just get absolutely exhausted. Stress is another Christmas buster. You know, family uncertainties and loss, job anxiety, just life circumstances can push us right to the edge, and the holidays just make it worse. A third Christmas buster is a lack of money. You know, one of the great joys of Christmas is being able to buy to give Christmas presents to other people. But if we don't have the kind of money, the money to buy the kind of presents that we want to give, then our giving can make us feel sad and maybe even a little ashamed. During this time of the year, we do talk a lot about giving. And giving is a very important part of Christmas. But if we can't get past the busyness or the stress or the economics, then giving just makes it worse. So this morning, I want to talk about Christmas from a little bit different perspective. Instead of talking about Christmas as a time of giving, I'd like to focus and reflect for a few minutes on Christmas as a time of receiving, a time to receive the greatest gift ever given. Before we get into it any farther, let's take a moment and pray together. Let's pray. Great and mighty God, in this season of the year, we can completely lose our focus in just the stuff that life throws at us. So focus our attention once again this morning, dear God, on the true reason why we celebrate Christmas and what it's really all about. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. One of the great truths of the Bible is that the Lord God Almighty is a giving God. In fact, our whole tradition of giving presents to one another at Christmas has its origins in the fact that God has given so much to us. And as we try to have as joyful a holiday season as we can accept the gifts that God has given us. One of those gifts is a manger. The most fundamental key to experiencing the true spirit of Christmas is to accept God's gift of the Christ child. A long time ago, a guy named Paul was stuck in a prison in the ancient Greek city of Philippi. And about midnight one night, the guy who was in charge of the jail experienced something from God that he could not explain. So he asked Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" Now, he wasn't just talking about his eternal soul. This Roman citizen was truly afraid that the higher-ups were going to come and kill him because of what happened. So he asked Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul's response, "Believe in Jesus." A would-be suicide was wheeled into an emergency room late one night. And as the doctor talked to him, it became apparent that this patient had a considerable amount of medical knowledge. As the doctor coaxed him a little bit more, the doctor learned that this patient had actually been a medical doctor himself at one time. Everything was going fine in his life until he discovered that his wife was being unfaithful. It pulled all the props out from under him. He didn't care about living anymore. He became an alcoholic and he just wanted to die. Well, as the doctor listened to this man's story, he thought about Freddie. Freddie was an orderly at the hospital who had come some years before in just about the same shape. But something had transformed Freddie's life. So Freddie met with this patient, and the first thing Freddie said was, "You can't do anything to help yourself. But if you will let him, Jesus can put your life back together." The man looked at Freddie and he said, "You know, I remember hearing that when I was a boy, but I never really believed it and I never accepted it." Freddie said, "You'll never know peace until you do." And so that man right then and there prayed a very simple prayer. He said, "Jesus, I can't handle my life anymore. Please help me." And sometime later, that same patient was once again practicing his profession. He accepted the gift of a manger, and Jesus changed his life. The manger in Bethlehem is God's gift to us. Christ Jesus the Lord is the true gift of Christmas. And when we accept that gift, Jesus makes our lives the best they can be. Second gift from God that we can receive at Christmas that will transform both our lives and our Christmases is God's promise of the kingdom of heaven. If you remember, one of the things that Jesus kept telling people over and over again when he was here is the kingdom of God is at hand. It is right here and it is right now. Jesus, or God, has given us the promise of a perfect world. Some time ago, a fellow named John Gratton in the Drexel, Missouri Star wrote a description of the perfect world. He wrote, "In a perfect world, people feel as good at age 50 as they did when they were 17. And they actually know as much at age 50 as they thought they knew when they were 17. In a perfect world, professional athletes complain that school teachers sign multi-million dollar contracts. In a perfect world, the mail is always early. The check is always in the mail, and it's for more than you expected. In a perfect world, potato chips have calories, but when you eat them with dip, all those calories are neutralized. In a perfect world, every once in a while, at least, a child who closes a door softly is told to go back and slam the door. God has promised us a perfect world. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah saw that perfect world. It was part of what we call his messianic vision. A branch will come forth from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots, a branch will spring forth and bear much fruit. Wolves and sheep will lie down beside each other. Leopards and goats will live side by side. And the earth will be as full of the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. The Old Testament prophets look forward to the coming reign of the Messiah. The New Testament ends with the promise of Messiah's return. God has promised us this gift of a perfect world. And when we accept that gift, God fills our hearts with the true spirit of Christmas. Of course, this world is anything but perfect. And that's why it's so important to accept a third gift that God has given us. God has given us the gift of a manger in Bethlehem. God has offered us the promise of a perfect world. And in the midst of a world that is not perfect, God has given us the ability to do something about it. God has given us the ability to give ourselves. We miss the full impact of Christmas if we assume that buying Christmas presents is as far as we can go. The true measure of Christmas is not how much money we spend. The true measure of Christmas is how much of ourselves we give to others. There's an old story about a young boy who was traipsing deep into the woods one day when he came across the hidden home of an old hermit. This hermit had a reputation of doing good deeds for other people, and so the hermit welcomed the boy into his home. He fed him and regaled him for hours with stories of the great saints and martyrs of the faith. This went on for many, many days until one day the hermit told the boy that he had to take a trip. Before he left, the hermit gave the boy a special knife, and he said, "One day this knife will open for you the gates of heaven." The hermit left, and the boy never saw him again. But he took the knife home and he began to whittle with it. And as he did, he discovered that this knife worked very well for wood carving. And so this boy decided that he would become a wood carver, and he would spend his entire life carving great statues of all the heroes from the hermit's stories. He became a great wood carver who was famous for the beauty of his religious statues. They were vibrant and lifelike. He dedicated his entire life to honoring God with his work. Well, the woodcarver grew to become an old man. Winter came to the village where he lived. And that year it was exceptionally cold and bitter and stormy and difficult. And very soon, all of the villagers burned through all of their firewood trying to keep their homes warm. They were just days away from freezing to death, and they couldn't cut down any more trees because only the king's woodsmen were allowed to own axes. So the woodcarver knew what he had to do. He took his special knife, and he cut up one of his beautiful statues and presented it as firewood for the villagers. The villagers were shocked that the woodcarver would destroy one of his beautiful statues, and it broke the woodcarver's heart, but he knew how badly the people needed firewood. Well, as the winter progressed, the woodcarver cut up more and more of his statues. And at the end of at winter's conclusion, the villagers had survived, but the woodcarver's life's work was gone. Brokenhearted, the woodcarver died. And he suddenly found himself at heaven's gate. Remembering the words of the hermit from years ago, he reached into his pocket to take out his special knife that would open heaven's gate for him when the gates swung open. And there was the old hermit with all the saints and martyrs of the faith. And the hermit explained, "Heaven's gate opens to all those who give themselves to others." Heaven's gate opened for us when God's only Son took on the form of a servant and became obedient to the point of death. When we accept God's gift of a manger, Jesus becomes our salvation. When we receive God's promise of a perfect world, we become citizens of the kingdom of heaven. When we give ourselves to others, heaven's gate opens for the world. This is the time of year to receive the full power and impact of the greatest gift ever given. You see, friends, Christmas is not ultimately about trees. It's not about carols or cards or cookies or even presents. Christmas is about the one who loves us enough to give his life on a cross and to be raised from the dead so that we could be friends with God. Christmas is about a relationship with the one who can heal our broken hearts, who can wash away our shame and guilt, and can restore our sense of dignity and value. Christmas is about a relationship with the source of true joy and peace, regardless the circumstances. We have been invited to know him and love him forever. His name is Jesus, and he is God's gift to you. Let us pray. Dear God, in the midst of the hustle and bustle of this season, keep us forever focused on the true meaning of Christmas, the Christ child, God with us, who gave his life so that we could have life and have it abundantly. In his name we pray. Amen.